You're listening to Conversations That Matter with your host, Terry Conrad.
Hi, everyone. This is Terry Conrad, and you are watching Conversations That Matter, gratefully, because we've had serious tech challenges. But I am bringing you today live here Sean Carpenter, a very, very good friend of mine, who I've known for many years, mostly, I guess, through Inman News. We are fellow ambassadors, and he is an amazing guy who is a director of, what is your title exactly, Sean? Welcome. Thank
director
you.
Director of Agent Development. For the Ohio NRT companies.
Right. So in Columbus and like cover like a huge geographic area. How many agents do you train?
About 1,200. We have about 650 in Columbus and just a little over 600 in the greater Cincinnati marketplace, which leaks over a little bit into the northern Kentucky and southeastern Indiana markets.
So just, you know, a couple.
Yeah.
Yeah. no big job.
But it's fun. Great group of people, two very similar marketplaces between Columbus and Cincinnati, right here in the Midwest, where we say please and thank you, and we're nice to people, and it's a nice spot to be.
That's awesome. I love that. That's the best description I've ever heard, and that's so true, because I did come down and visit once, and it was exactly that experience. Everyone was so friendly and charming and lovely, and what a great way to be. So welcome. Thank you so much for joining me. There's so many things I want to talk about. You are someone in the industry who is a beacon. You know, you bring so much joy and humor and carp art. And so there's a thousand things I want to talk about. Why don't we start first with how did you start to get so involved with Inman, and what does that mean to you in your business?
Okay.
What are you trying to do? Like, what are you trying to do?
Well, it boils down really, Terry, to my whole philosophy, which was the same as an agent, as a manager, and certainly now as a trainer, speaker, blogger, carp artist, you know, and that philosophy is pretty simple. It's build relationships, solve problems, and have fun. If you can do those three things every single day, build relationships with someone new that you haven't met before, or deepen a relationship with someone you already have. If you can help people solve their problems, and I'm a big believer, whether they're real estate related problems or not, if I can help enough people solve problems when they have a real estate related problem, they would probably call me. And if you can have fun doing it, I mean, that's what life's all about, is having fun. And I think I see so many people get into our business because they were in corporate America, or they've been at home raising a family and they haven't been having fun. And they say, I just want to get into a job where I can truly pull a canvas out and paint it. And whatever that means in their business, whether that means they want to work 50, 60, 70 hours a week, or if they want to work 20 hours a week,
right.
That's what's cool. And so that's kind of how you know me, so you know that I put have fun first and then build relationships and then solve problems, and they all kind of work together, you know, no matter where you start in the circle, they all work. The opportunity I got from the Inman folks, Katie Lance and Chris Smith, when they were kind of running the social side of the Connect and really taking it to this next level where we see it now, mm-hmm. They reached out and said, what if we got some people that are out there talking in the social streams, that have an ear to the ground, that also have other people's ears, and that they are listening, and they're influencers, and they are people that people want to listen to and follow. And so it was a great opportunity for that original ambassador class, so to speak, and it's grown each and every year, and Laura Monroe's taken it over, our good buddy Laura, and so it's just been I think it's just been such a cool thing to grow the message. And it's something that lots of industries are doing now because it's so much easier for other people to talk about the companies instead of the company talking about themselves.
I think that's so true. And I think the vision for the ambassador program originally was, you know, let's identify those influencers and give them a chance to sort of shine a little bit and give them some legitimacy. It was sort of a tap and saying, you know, we see that you are in fact doing good business, you understand this industry, you do influence other people in this industry, and so let's bring you together and sort of shine the light. And I thought it was an extremely powerful tool to do that. You have taken it to the nth degree though, because let's backtrack a little bit. You write this great Monday Match blog post and your Carp's Corner blog that you've been, and you have been, holy Hannah, you have been consistent. Every Monday I get a new one, and it's always always inspirational first, I would say. It's pretty typically there's going to be some sort of sports analogy or something like that, and you have formats. Like, the way that you write is really fun, super digestible, and it does, I think, help people sort of stay in the trenches, keep them moving forward, like you say, having fun and solving problems. So kudos to you for being so consistent. How, what was your vision for writing that blog post, and you continue to do it, and, you know, what are you trying to achieve with that?
You know, my blog post started back in 08, and it started as just, I was following other bloggers, Seth Godin and John Jantz and Daniel Pink, and I was just following some other bloggers outside the real estate market, and I said, hey, I think I could do this. I could share my ideas. I could put them in a written context where they would live on the web, and I started looking at our company's business principles, and I kind of started with that and what agents can do, and my audience was designed to be the agents and the managers and the brokers and owners out there that I was speaking to when I would speak at different Coldwell Banker events, and so I said, what if I can just put what I say in person into a text format that could be kept and shared and leveraged, much like we talk about creating content that lives forever. And so, and then it sort of started evolving, and I was writing, I don't know, about 2 to 2.5 posts a week. I didn't really set out to say I'm going to have a content strategy. I'm going to write, 7 days a week like a Seth Godin. Mm-hmm. It's incredibly, as you know, it's incredibly hard to write and kind of come up with something that's of value. But I always keep in mind who's my audience, and it's that rookie agent, it's that experienced agent, it's that manager looking for content for their sales meetings, it's that lender or appraiser to better understand our business. And so I don't know when I started doing the Monday morning match. I could probably go back and look, but I haven't missed a Monday in almost 4 years.
That's
a little over 600 posts. I posted my 600th blog post a couple weeks ago, but I haven't missed a Monday in almost 4 years. And I started, it's called the Monday Morning Match, and it's just an idea, a post, a story, a quote, a picture to spark your week to get you motivated for a great week. And so I'm a big believer, Terry, you and I have had a lot of offline conversations. People say I'm motivational, and I say I can't motivate anybody. Motivation has to come from within. I can inspire people. I can give people some inspiration, just like a book can, a movie can, a song can. You know, you were at my presentation a few years ago where I gave the presentation on inspiration versus motivation, and
which was so good.
thank you. And that was, so my Monday morning match is designed to do that. And I every once in a while will write it on Monday morning, but usually Sunday evening after our family dinner, I sit down and I get an idea. Sometimes I struggle to come up with something, so I'll look through the, today in history, or I'll look for a quote. And other times I just have an idea that I've been sitting on all week, and I say I'm gonna write this. And sometimes they're longer than a short little match. But I think the people that read them know that, hey, I'm gonna read Sean's message. It might give me a little thought for the week, a little inspiration, a little push, and that's what it's designed to do. It's funny. We were in Seattle together a few months ago. And I don't usually get out to the West Coast, and that's the first time I'd ever been to Seattle. Great city, love it there, love the people there, love the everything about it. And so we went out that night, that first night in town, and I woke up the next morning, obviously super early because I was still on East Coast time, and I opened up my email and I realized, oh my gosh, it's Monday, and I haven't written my blog post yet. So thank God we were on that time change because I was able to not miss a Monday. I would have hated to have missed a Monday just because I forgot. And so it's been something that I think a lot of people mention, that I'm consistent with it.
It's an incredible accomplishment, truly, because I mean, me with my CTMs, I've already taken a break, because it's an amazing achievement to do something regularly like that. That's for 600 posts, not missing a Monday all those years. Wow.
The thing that's great about the Monday part is it forces me to post at least once a week.
That's right.
Sometimes I post more. I'm actually going to write one when we're done with this. I got an idea in my head on my drive home from Cincinnati yesterday, so I'm going to try and get it out. So it'll come out on a Friday, but then there'll be one coming up on Monday, and so it's all, so I know I'll have at least one a week, and I'm not bombarding people's inboxes, but I figured if the content's not good, they'll either unsubscribe or they just won't listen, and that's okay too, because, it's kind of like a Seth Godin. Sometimes I don't have time for it, and other times I catch up and read 4 or 5, and it just has to hit the person at the right time. I'm not looking to hit everybody at the right time. I'm just looking to hit the right person at the right time.
I think you hit the nail on the head. And I will say, honestly, you are one of the few blog posts that I come back to. And I do miss a few in between. But it's like I know every time I open one, it's going to be really, really good. And I've shared many of yours with my Agent Quest people, audience. So that's, I mean, it just, it's always really inspirational and powerful and really good tips, always really good tips in there. So here's, let's go back to, you were a selling agent. What made you make the move into training, which, by the way, you are so good at?
Well, thanks, Terry. I was an agent for 5 years, actively selling, about 4.5 years. I got licensed and started working. And after a couple years in the business, I started doing some things in my business that my manager came to me and said, hey, would you stand up at the sales meeting and talk about? And I did. And then the manager said, hey, would you do a little workshop on this? And so I was like, sure, I'll be happy to help. I was never one of those people that wanted to keep my ideas to myself. I mean, there's 5.4 million sales in the United States each year. There's 1.1 million. So there's 5 deals per person in the country. But we know there's more than that out there. And so what I do is unique to me, but it's not, I don't own any of it. So I was always willing to share it. Hey, if it works for me and it can help my coworkers and my company mates and anyone I build a relationship with in the business, then that's great. Then that's more people doing good things. And so I became the assistant manager of our office, which meant I still sold. I still actively was an agent, but I got to help with some recruiting and some training and some coaching in the office. And I got a little bit of a stipend for that, which was kind of nice as a new father and not really newlywed at that time, but we had just had a baby. And then some things happened with the company, and I had a chance to become a manager. And I've always had, Terry, a leadership heart, so to speak. I was president of my fraternity at University of Florida, and always was just that, let's get the team going and let's pull the followers with us. And so it was a great opportunity. It was an opportunity to become a leader, to become I'll be honest, there was a nice to have a salary and not have to worry about the ups and downs of the real estate market, to have a 401k, to have health insurance with a family. But I'll tell you what, it's been awesome, because that 2 years where I gave up selling to become a manager, I truly found my passion. That's the coaching and training of agents. I loved the coaching and training side of being a manager. I hated the manager side of being a manager, running an office, hiring and firing staff. The recruiting was great because I still got to sell every day. At my heart, I'm a salesman and I'm a teacher, and so I got to sell every day. Our industry, our company. My beliefs on how you become successful, my philosophy. But my boss saw me have the passion for the training and teaching, and we did a company event. They asked me to teach a breakout session, and it was killer. It was just a fun event. I get great feedback, and they quickly said, we got to find a job for this guy to move up and do more things with the company. And so in the November of 2005, I was given the opportunity to become the director of training in both Columbus and Cincinnati, and they basically said, here's the keys to the kingdom, and you can build it and create it however you want, and we're going to take your ideas and throw away what doesn't work and add what does work, and be willing to learn and bend and listen and work with our managers and our agents, and it's been great. So I've been in that role since. And
I love that. They're so fortunate to have you. Here's a question for you. Where are you trying to take the company now? With all of the, if you've had the keys to the kingdom for a while now, what's been your vision and where are you going?
Well, I mean, obviously, our business is built on independent agents. Our company, any company out there, Coal Banker is the name on the mall, and inside are all the stores of our agents. And so our brand is going to bring people to the mall, but they've got to have their own stores up and running. And as independent contractors, I want to provide hope and belief and tools and systems and checklists and logistics for the people. If they're a left brain person, we got to have the charts and forms and graphs in place. If they're a right brain person, we got to tell the story that's going to make them believe they can be successful. And so whether they're a rookie or a middle agent or a top agent, I just want them to know that there's stuff here that we can help them with. And if we don't have it here, I will find it. I will find the right person to get them in touch with. I'm meeting with a lot of our top agents now to start off the year, and I'm not coaching them. I'm consulting with them because they're top agents for a reason, Terry. They don't need to be pushed to make more phone calls. They just maybe need to say, hey, how's other people around the country doing it differently? How's your friends in Canada doing that maybe we don't know about here in the United States? Hey, Sean, go out and find out what the music industry, the pharmaceutical industry, the education industry is doing that we can take and maybe make our own in our business. So that's the cool thing about this, is it's not scripts 101, it's not forms 101, it's not Listing Presentations 101. It's a blend of all those to say, how can we make those unique? Now, the hard part is you can't make 1,300 different training sessions for the 1,300 agents we have. You've got to create a menu, much like the Cheesecake Factory, which is a big menu, but no matter who comes in there, they can find something they like, and I think that's kind of the approach we take.
So I love your brain. Everything is an awesome metaphor that really does help. The mall one is a new one I had never heard of. I love that. That's perfect.
Yeah. I'm constantly analogizing something into something else. A sports analogy, a TV show analogy, a movie analogy, a music analogy, as you saw in Seattle.
Yeah, it's perfect. It works so well because it does. I think we are very visual, right? So if you can paint that picture in my head, it just does help me understand that much better. I totally agree with that. So while we're here, you were a golf like a pro, were you not?
When I got out of school at the University of Florida, I became a golf pro. Worked in the golf business for 3 years at a big resort course for 2 years in Florida. Moved back closer to home and got a job at a private club in Cleveland, Ohio. Best boss I've ever had, Dominic Antonucci, just the kind of guy that just, he wasn't the best boss because of the punch in the clock. He was just the best boss to just learn how he handled people, how he handled situations, how he looked at life, how he would just slow you down and say, let's think about this for a second. He taught me so much. I owe so much to my mannerisms, my personality, and what I learned from him. But to be a golf pro in any country but in the United States, you work every weekend, you work every holiday. It's a lot of hours for low pay when you're kind of working your way up in the business. Mm-hmm. It's not a glamorous job. And you know, when you think about the tour golfers that we think of, Tiger Woods and Ricky Fowler and Rory McIlroy, those guys are the best 125 golfers in the world.
Right.
You know, and then there's a bunch of people that are good golfers that have a job to do at a country club or a golf course. And so I got out of that and moved back to Columbus and became a beer salesman.
Which is your other passion, which I know we share.
Yeah. Exactly, which I worked for Miller & Coors here in Columbus and called on all but different parts of the territory and loved that job, believed in the product, still a big user of the product. But the passion I had to go in and talk people into bringing in my products and working with the bars and the restaurants and say, like, hey, don't just put my beer on tap. I'm going to come in and I'm going to help you and your staff learn how to sell it and have some fun with contests with the bartenders and the wait staff. And it was great, Terry. It was a ton of fun. I loved working with the brands I worked with, and that was when the craft beer industry first kind of got up and running, and Blue Moon, which many people know about, was brand new, and George Killian's and all these kind of great beers, and we had the Molson products from Canada, and you know, so it was just a blast.
We have better beer now.
I know. We all do. We all have lots of good beers now.
Yeah. But, so, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, so then I loved that job, but I worked a ton of hours till 2 or 3 in the morning with my bars and restaurants. I'd get up at 6 in the morning and go back out and do it again. And Rhonda and I, my wife, we were wanting to have a family and kind of had a little powwow one night where I came home super late one night and she kind of called me out and said, hey, if we're going to have a family, we can't be working these hours.
Yeah.
So we had just bought our first house and I thought to myself, you know, what's a job that would allow me to drink beer and play golf? So I became a real estate agent. I've been in that business ever since. And so I reached out to the realtor that sold me our house and said, hey, do you think I could do this job? And she's like, oh, my gosh, with your personality and with your energy and with your knowledge of people here in Columbus, you'd be great at it. And I thank her to this day encouraging me to do so, and it's worked out pretty well.
Yeah, it definitely has. So that's awesome. While we're on the beer part of this story, let's talk a little bit about when we were at ICSF, so Inman Connect in San Francisco this past summer. You, as the guy that you are, organized a little group tour hosted by you to a local brewery. I'm going to let you tell that story a little bit. And the reason I bring it up is because I think what you do so well is you identify the importance of shared experience and how that deepens relationships and how those deepened relationships can lead to other things. So that's sort of my interpretation of it, but I'm dying to hear how you would present that and what we did and why we did it.
Sounds good. So many people might have heard of the beer Anchor Steam. It's the San Francisco beer. It's been around since the 1850s in San Francisco. Well, a while back, it switched ownership, and my cousin, my dad's cousin, so I guess it's my second cousin, Mark Carpenter, became the brewmaster at Anchor Steam Brewing Company. And so every time I've been in San Francisco, I call on Mark and I get a little private tour, and certainly as a of age beer drinker now, it's just something I just, it was just cool to see behind the scenes of a beer company. Well, when we went back to San Francisco last year, I tried to arrange for a little private party for some people, and I called way too late. They'd already booked that night because they only have one place to do these little events. So for last year's event, I called well in advance and got my cousin Mark to help me set it up. And they have a little private tasting room at the place there, and it's a very small company. They could have gone bigger, but they decided to stay small and stay true to the, who they are and their roots. And so we went for a little private tasting party with some of the ambassadors and some people, and we had about 30 of us there that night. And Bobby, our host, is just one of the guys that works on the line, but that night he was in charge of welcoming the guests and teaching us about the beer and giving us a little tour. And we sat in that room and drank beers with people from Australia and Canada and all over the United States. And it was just such a unique opportunity to not just see a different industry, how it works from the inside, but to see it from the eyes of a service business like real estate. Mm-hmm. And we got a chance to, Bobby was fantastic. He knew his stuff. He told stories with passion. He wasn't just the ingredients, because anyone can take the ingredients for chocolate chip cookies, but not everybody makes it the way your mom does or your dad does, you know. And so we all kind of remember that. And just to share that experience, the word you used earlier, to share that experience with other people, was something that I think all, everyone that was there will never forget. And every time you see an Anchor Steam on tap or an Anchor Steam beer at a ballpark or in the grocery store, maybe you pick it up. And kudos to Mark and his team, because, you know, that night we were there, remember, off to the side, there was six or seven of the people that had just got off on their shift, and their small size allows them to take off their work clothes and taste what they just made that day. Mm-hmm. What a neat thing to be able to have such pride in your work that afterwards you get a chance to taste it and say, you know what, it's as good as it is, or I got to make it better next time. And we don't get a chance to do that because we don't really always buy houses every day. We might go through the process once every 5, 7, 10 years, but when we're the customer, we don't get a chance to see our service. We are our service. There they get a chance to see the excitement of these 30 people from around the world drinking their beer that they worked hard to make. And it's just, it was such a cool, fun time, and I hope we can do it again.
Me too. I thought it was fabulous. I brought it up for a very specific reason, because it did lock in my mind as an amazing experience with some great people, but also you did give us that opportunity to step outside of our industry and remember what it's like to have this great experience, and how can we bring what we had there, how did that make us feel, and how can we deliver that to our own clients? I think that's always sort of what you're after in my interpretation, and that certainly came across for me. So then the other experience that we've shared is Inman Connect New York. Yeah. Where my husband and I had dawdled off, and we went down to Ground Zero, of course. This was while it was still being built, and it was really cold that day. I'll never forget. It was a really, really cold day. It's in January, and we ended up sneaking into a little pub right off of the corner, right at Ground Zero, and it was such a cool little pub. It had all the badges up all over the ceiling, and we talked to the bartender. We sat right at the bar. It was super small and cozy, you know, pretty rugged, you know, not your typical place that I would normally want to visit, but it had all this character and personality. And then the bartender started telling us all these stories about when 9/11 had happened, and it got really heavy, and we immediately realized the impact of where we were, which was they had been front row and center for 9/11, and how that had completely transformed them, and how everyone had come in, all of the firefighters and the police officers, all the early responders had been using that pub as sort of their hub for where they would get warm and get a bite, and so it became this like big, big thing. And of course it impacted me so much that I come back and I tell you, I say, Carpenter, you have got to go to this pub. The reason I bring that up is because, of course, now it's become even bigger to you. You've actually taken that, and it's become this big experience that you share with lots of other people, and I'd love for you to tell that story.
Yeah, so I thank you to this day for introducing me to that. I still have the text. I think it's in one of my blog posts, you know, that text you sent me saying, got to go to this place, it's amazing. It's called O'Hara's Pub, and it's right, like you said, it is truly in the shadows of the Twin Towers. It's right next to one of the engine houses there. And what makes it so impactful is when you talk to Polly, one of the co-owners and some of the staff there, that day in 9/11, they lost hundreds of their regular customers. Mm-hmm. They lost the people that came from the fire station next door on a regular basis, before shifts and after shifts, and had lunch, and it just, and so they made this place a living tribute to not just the engine house next door, but to all firefighters around the world. And when you walk in there, you see from top to bottom, every square inch of this place is covered with badges off of firefighter shirts. And if you talk to the staff there, they'll take you to the very first one they ever had, because a firefighter ripped it off his arm and said, you know, this needs to hang on the wall in tribute to our brothers. And it's just such a cool place. And every one of the people in New York City that was there during 9/11 has a story. But this place has a story that just lives on and in memory of what that place was. And the firehouse next door, outside the door, is this long plaque dedicated to all the surviving, all the people that gave their lives. And just when you go there, and there's, if you go there, ask to see the book of the memories. And it just kind of, you know, that day, you know, I wasn't old enough to remember John F. Kennedy being shot. I wasn't old enough to you know, clearly remember, you know, Pearl Harbor or anything like that. But this, that day for us, you know, will live in infamy. And this place, O'Hara's, allows us to remember and to honor and to just appreciate, word right there, appreciate, you know, what we have. And it's just so every time I go back there, I want to tell the story. Every single time. And there's just moments in our lives that something impacts us. It was a blog post I sat down and wrote. And, you know, go back and search on my blog and read that blog post, because it's, the very first thing I was saying is, when I sat down to write this blog post, it didn't start out to be a 2,000-word essay, but that's what it turned into, because it became a tribute, it became a eulogy, it became a story to tell about this place. And I've told people, and they've told people, and they've gone back, and they've brought friends, and they've brought friends, and they've told people. So I feel like in my own little way, the ripple effect has worked, and it comes back every time someone sends me an email or a message or a picture that says, hey, Carp, thanks for letting me know about this place. It's amazing. And so we're going to be back there next week. We're going to miss you. I'll make sure we send you a couple photos and some tweets from there. But it's just, I couldn't be more excited. And to talk to Polly, one of the owners, you know, and to hear the stories of just, we saw on TV that horrible day, but to hear just the horror of mm-hmm. and the strength and the pride and the teamwork and the, you know, everything that good that we can learn from that day is in the walls of that bar.
Agreed. I knew asking you to tell that story would be so valuable. This is why I do this, because this, it truly is a conversation that matters. I think, you know, we've touched on.
It has nothing to do with real estate, but it has everything to do with real estate, because if we can make those experiences, if we can make those emotions, you know, like I'm teary-eyed, I can see you are too, and it just, when you think about that place and you just think of how many people came through that door and how many people have come through that door since that day to pay tribute to someone who's no longer here. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just, and if in our business we can help people, you know, our friend Darren Persinger talks about, it's not a transaction, it's a transition.
Right.
And when we start treating them that way, it changes the way we approach our business. And so that place is one of those places that it's blog worthy. You know, I talk to all the people around the country, are you blog worthy? Are you worth writing about? Is what you're doing for your customers and your communities and your companies something other people are going to tell a story about? And if you can hit that point in whatever it is you do, whether you sell 10 houses or you help your kids' schools or you work at a soup kitchen or you're active in your country club, you help old folks, whatever it is, if you're blog worthy, then you're doing something right.
Amen. Amen. I love that. That is such a great measurement. What a great thing to aspire to. And then, like, especially because we live in such a noisy world, and there's so much being, I mean, because we've been taught, right? Produce, produce, produce. It's all about content, content, content. So, of course, what's coming at us is all kinds of rhetoric, and very little really quality, like good stories like that. Like, I love that. If we're shooting to be blog worthy, what a great goal. That will be going into the post for sure.
Here's I think what we all have to understand. And before, we used to aim to say, I deliver great service. Great service was our bar. Well, I don't think great service is enough anymore. This is 2015, damn it. And I think great service is expected. I think people expect it because companies like the Marriott and companies like Disney and Apple, they said, this is where service is. If you're not here or better, then get out of our way. And so I have a sign that hangs here in my office, and it says, doing what's required only prevents customer dissatisfaction. You must do more than is required to truly satisfy a customer.
So how do you advise your agents? What more can they, like, I think most agents want to deliver great service. They want their customers to be happy. They want to fulfill those expectations and more, but maybe they don't quite know what they should be doing. What do you tell your agents?
You know what, it's not rocket science. It's use your manners. It's remember people's names. It's do something that they didn't expect. See, when we list a house for somebody, and we walk out of that house after getting a listing, or they leave our office after signing our listing contract, they're expecting us to sell their house. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the transaction, when we sell their house, they say, "That a boy, you did what you told me you were going to do."
Yes, precisely.
What are they going to tell people about? My realtor did his job? No, you've got to do more than is expected. I share with my classes, when you go through the McDonald's drive-thru, when was the last time you went back and thanked them for getting your order correct? You don't, because that's what they were supposed to do.
Yeah.
So we have to do something more. We have to do something for their kids, for their dog, for their neighborhood. We have to host a going away party. We have to send flowers. We have to, whatever that little thing is, it's nothing major. When someone goes and gets great service at a restaurant, the service was a part of it, but it's the memorable experience of their anniversary and the waiter wrote happy anniversary and chocolate sauce on the plate.
Yes.
Or they made a special drink for them, or they announced them to the restaurant, or they got their car detailed while they were inside and the valet took it off and got it detailed. And thanks for being a great customer, Todd and Terry. We appreciate your support. Agents can do little things like that that get other people talking about them. Can I share an example of what I'm talking about? To get other people to tell stories about you, you got to do something different. If I put on this pair of pants I'm wearing today, and I haven't worn them in a while, and I reached in my pocket, let's say I found a $100 bill, some agents would think, gosh, last time I wore this pants, I must have been at some event where I was, you know, gambling or at a charity event, and they'll say $100 I didn't know I had. Gosh, I'm going to send $100 of flyers over here to this subdivision because I'd really like to get listings in that subdivision. Mm-hmm. They're going to send $100 worth of flyers to strangers. Here's what I would do, and here's what I did as an agent. $100 I didn't know I had. Gosh, you know what? I got a great chance to impact some people this week. And I'm going to call up and I'm going to say, hey, Terry, it's Sean Carpenter. How are you? Hey, what are you and the kids doing for dinner tonight? I'll tell you what, don't do anything. I got to show houses over in your neighborhood. How about I pick up a couple pizzas for you and the kids? And I would stop by and I'd pick up pizzas. And if I know that you're a Chardonnay drinker, I'd put a little bottle of Chardonnay or some beer for Todd. And I'm not bringing it over at 6:30 to be invited in. I'm just dropping it off. Now, I still have $65 in my pocket. Well, then tomorrow I call up and I say, you know, hey, Kelly, it's Sean. Hey, do you guys still do your sales meetings on Wednesdays? Yeah, I got to be at the Board of Realtors for a class tomorrow morning, so how about I drop off some bagels for you and your team? And I'm going to go by Panera and I'm going to pick up a couple dozen bagels. And on the inside of the box, I'm going to put Sean Carpenter's business card. And I'm going to write, courtesy of Sean Carpenter, Kelly Mitchell's agent. And I still have, what, $40 in my pocket after that?
Yeah.
So I'm going to call up my next person and I'm going to say, you know, hey, Linda, do you and the team still go to BW3's on Friday afternoons for happy hour? I'll tell you what, I'm going to meet you there. It's been a while since I caught up with you. Tell everybody in your group, if they're there with you at 4 o'clock, I'm buying their first beers.
Nice.
Now, let me ask you a question. What's a better use of $100?
I completely agree.
One touch to a stranger or three people, they're going to go tell people, guess what my realtor did for me last night? Now, half of them are going to go, are you moving? No, I'm not. That's the whole thing is my realtor just stays in touch with me on a regular basis and does stuff like this. That makes them want to tell people about them, right?
Love it.
If our experiences end, if our service ends at the closing of the commission check, well then that's all we're ever going to get from those people.
Completely agree.
But if we show them what else we do, it's just so much more impactful.
So I think the key word there is impact, right? Mm-hmm. Like you've actually made an impact on someone's life. And so that's where we're going beyond the job. And now it's like we're developing a relationship. And you're exactly right. Like nobody expects anybody to do stuff like that. So of course it gets shared and talked about. And of course it deepens that relationship and fuels the trust and all of those other great things that you say so much better than I do.
Hey, listen to this. Listen to this story. I love this story. So there's I think it's in Chicago, but it's a laser eye surgeon. And you know, there's probably hundreds of laser eye surgeons in Chicago.
Yeah.
And so he says, what can we do differently? What can we do that's going to make it better? Well, he knows that anyone who comes to get laser eye surgery has to have someone with them because the person can't drive home.
Obviously.
So when the person shows up, let's say you're going in for laser eye surgery and Todd drives you that day. Mm-hmm. Well, they ask for your keys to the car, and while you're sitting there, they take that person's car out to get it cleaned and detailed. And then they bring in lunch for that person while they're sitting there waiting for the person who's surgery. So not only do you leave and say, oh my gosh, this doctor was great, I see better. Todd goes and tells everybody, oh my God, this was great. These people took my car out and got it detailed and brought me in lunch while I was sitting there waiting for my wife. How cool is that? That cost them, what, $150? But how much does it cost them in word of mouth?
I love, like, the word of mouth side of this business is where, in my opinion, it's always been the most powerful. I mean, I remember when I was selling and, you know, the quarter page ad was like $400 for something that would live for a minute. God knows who saw it. And, you know, how impactful could it possibly be? And so, like what you're talking about, I don't know if you know, Stephen Jagger is a good friend of mine. He ran Ubitour websites, and he's long since moved on to other endeavors. But he used to come down to the Connect conferences, and he used to say, you know, it's far better for him to just take everyone to the bar, and we, you know, would buy rounds of pink drinks. That was his thing. And I'm telling you, everyone talks about Steve and loves Steve, and he built all his relationships and business that way.
Yeah, but once again, if I said, tell me everything you did at Inman Connect San Francisco last year, what about the parties? You'd say Anchor Steam, and then there were some other parties, but none of them stood out to me because they were in a hotel ballroom or they were in just an everyday pub.
Yeah.
So things like that, and what we're talking about here is not word of mouth these days, it's word of mouse.
Right.
It's word of mouse because the message, the story, the example can get further and faster and freer through social, through Facebook, through Instagram, through YouTube, through blogs. So my story about O'Hara's, my story about Fred, the shuttle bus driver in Columbus, my story about Linda, the gate agent at Port Columbus. I mean, so many more people can learn about this and say, I've heard about this place, right?
I love it. I completely love it. I think the challenge, though, is, like, I mean, if an agent who doesn't really, so I'm working with a bunch of new agents now, well, not new agents, but agents new to social and digital, okay?
Right.
They don't fully understand how it's meant to be used or what the purpose is. And I mean, it does seem very noisy and sort of clunky, and everybody's sort of still trying to promote, right? Like, it's a marketer's heaven. Everyone's pushing. Hey, buy with me, sell with me. I'm number one, whatever. And I think there is still a real disconnect between the power of telling story and what story should even be told, versus, you know, use this as your marketing broadcasting platform. How do you help people understand that?
Lead by example, hopefully. Point out other people that are doing it right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have to do it my way. Just learn my way and then adapt it to your way.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say that on the very first day of our class with our newer agents is, I'm going to share some ideas that worked for me. It doesn't mean it's going to work for you. You might say, I like Sean's idea, but I would probably execute it differently.
Right.
I like Sean's words, but I would use Terry's visuals.
Mm-hmm.
I like the way Terry formatted it, but I like the way Deb packaged it. So there's so many different ways you can lead by example. And the biggest thing that we can all learn is, let's look outside the real estate industry, because there's so much more we can learn from the Disneys and the Marriotts and the Apples and the places like that than we can from just repackaging the same old from our industry's past.
Completely agree. I've often looked to hospitality for that example. I think they do such a great job of the above and beyond expectation. And, you know, Matthew Ferrara talks a lot about that as well.
Yeah. And I was so excited to see that, you know, that my friends at Coldwell Banker headquarters, David Marine and David Cerrone, those guys, they were just out at CES, you know, the computer,
yes,
the computer show in Vegas, because they need to know what tomorrow's consumers are using to be able to help tomorrow's consumers find a house that's going to fit what they're using. And I just think it's so neat that we're looking outside the industry at so many things. That's why Inman Connect is such a fun event, because it takes so much of the event has nothing to do with real estate, but we look at ways to adapt and understand and better figure out how do we serve tomorrow's customers today.
I completely agree. I'm so sad that I'm going to miss it. I'm actually going to be at Banff Western Connect, which we only have that conference.
If you're going to miss it, that's not a bad place to miss it.
It's not a bad place. And this is a conference we have in Canada only every 2 years. All the Western provinces run by the association, so it's actually a big deal. And I just simply can't miss it. So I'm so sad I'm going to be missing Connect.
Well, but the good news is You'll be following the stream, and yeah.
Exactly. And I'll be looking for you to let me know.
That's a good example. There's another reason, I guess, for our for your question. You know, if you can show people how to do it, if you can encourage people along the way, I mean, one of the biggest things is people just feel like, if I'm just doing it, no one's noticing, right. Why do I keep doing it? And so whether it's an attaboy on a text, a Facebook message, a tweet, an email, a phone call, just going up to, you know, the old manage by walking around in your offices. Now, I have 18 offices throughout, you know, a 250-mile radius from top to bottom and around. But I love when I pop into an office I haven't been to in a while, and they're like, hey, Carp, what are you doing here? And they're super excited to see me. And so if I can go out of my way to find that agent saying, hey, I heard you got your first listing, and that's going to make them want to get their second listing. And it's going to make them realize that, hey, somebody's paid attention to me.
I think that is so true. That's so valid. That's a rule that I'm now playing with this contract that I'm working on. It's they just need to know that someone's actually there and caring and helping them and, you know, has their interests at heart. I think, honestly, I want that.
Yeah.
Most of the time.
Yeah.
Okay. Before we dive into my legacy question, which you know is coming, I wanted to talk quickly about Carp Art and what that, like, you've got this whole, like, you are so creative, it's not even funny. I can't even believe how you, when did this start? Where did it start?
So I think it started a couple years ago in New York, and here's what happened. We go to these events, and especially as ambassadors, we sit right up in the front, and our job is to text and tweet and video and Instagram and blog and just make sure we capture everything the speaker's saying. And so we all try and do this. We try and watch the events like this, and right. We get one nugget, we tweet it, but the one good nugget that Arianna Huffington says, 55 people tweet.
Right.
And then 55 people retweet and vice versa. And so I sat down one time and I said, you know, I'm just going to listen to this next speaker and not touch my phone. I want to hear and enjoy this speaker. I want to just disconnect. And then I started just doodling. And I was kind of doodling as the person was talking. And then the doodle turned into kind of like that's kind of a cool little, whatever I just heard, it filtered through my crazy head. And I instead of tweeting it in words, I put it in pictures.
Yeah.
You've seen me speak, so a lot of my stuff is just pictures. It's not words. And so it can be different every time. But so I drew this picture, and I hashtagged it Carp Art. I'm like, I'm just going to name it that. Well, then one became two, and two became three, and then people started sharing it, liking it, and they were really just doodles. I mean, I'm not Walt Disney by any means. I'm very – so it's a mixture of words and pictures, but what I do is I try and take a tweet and I try and say, if this tweet was a picture, what would it look like? So sometimes it's words with a picture, sometimes it's just a picture, sometimes it's a picture with someone's Twitter handle so they get credit for it. Last year when Guy Kawasaki gave his 12 things to create enhancement, I took some time, I wrote and listened to his speech and just enjoyed his presentation and his style and his passion, his enthusiasm. But I wrote down these things, and then during lunch I said, what if I did a picture for each of those 12 things? What if I did them all side by side so they could be in one picture? And my process is I draw them, I color them, I have ink markers all over the place so I can be colorful and creative. And I draw it, and then I take a picture of it, and then I go into Camera Plus and I shape it. Then I go into iWatermark, and I watermark it with the Carp Art logo, and then I tweet it and Facebook it and share it, and then luckily other people share it, and it's just kind of cool. It's just a unique way of going to an event and seeing things and drawing things, and it's fun.
And I love it. I just, you know, I mean, we are inundated with digital and push and messaging, and that is one thing that is, like, I am a very visual person, so I can appreciate those drawings so much. I just think that you do, and they're fun. Like, you have this warped sense of humor that I love, and
I'll tell you, I think the more and more I do it, the more and more I tell stories about places like O'Hara's and things like that, you realize that the eyes are much closer to the heart than the text is, you know.
So true.
So the emotion of being at a place and feeling it, seeing it in a picture, those people that aren't at Inman and they're going to follow the Twitter stream, they're going to see 55 tweets of a great quote by Rupert Murdoch, or maybe they see one picture from Sean Carpenter. And it makes them feel like they were there. Like one.
I think the difference is you see it or you feel it, and the feeling is definitely more powerful. There's no question.
Yeah, no doubt. It's something fun, and the neat thing is with tools like Mosaic or Shutterfly, I'm able to sort of take my pictures that I draw next week in New York, and then I can kind of condense them into a little book, and kind of remember them, and so I know it's something that, you know, Inman Connect's founder, Brad Inman. He enjoys them, and you know, he doesn't get a chance to see them as they're live in the stream. But I always hear from him. He says how much he enjoys them after the fact. So it's neat that people are seeing them and getting a little glimpse into this crazy head of mine.
You're doing amazing work. You are truly making a big impact on this industry, of course. Everyone loves you, of course. Time to wrap pretty quick here. I don't want to take up too much more of your time. It's really important to me that we share, you know, just sort of your vision, your values, which, of course, you have been doing through this entire conversation. But I always wrap with, you know, sort of what is the legacy that you want to leave? And I think we've touched on a lot of it, but maybe you can just sort of fill it in and we'll wrap this up.
That's a big picture, you know. It's a big fill in the blank, and here's an essay, and, you know, it's like a teacher's handing you an essay booklet that says, what does life mean? And you have to fill it out, and you're going to be graded on it. You know, it's kind of interesting as I don't think any of us really, some people in our industry, but not a lot of people that are in it grew up and said, I want to be a realtor when I grow up. I want to be a director of training when I grow up. Very few people use their degrees in our country to do what they set out to do. Some do, and that's great, and if they do that, that's awesome, and I'm jealous of that, but I'm so blessed to be where I'm at. I feel like I'm where I'm at, and I truly am where I'm supposed to be, doing what I'm supposed to be doing with who I'm supposed to be doing it with, and the ability to get out and speak to people around the country and the opportunity locally here and with our company and with our industry is fantastic. You know, when I grew up, my dad taught landscape architecture at Ohio State University for 29 years, and the whole time I was his son watching him do what he did, I couldn't give two craps about landscape architecture. I didn't understand it. I was a kid. I was a typical youth who didn't appreciate what my dad did. My grandpa, his dad, was a traveling shoe salesman for Florsheim and Clarks of England, was tremendous at what he did, was a big mentor of mine. And one year in college, I came back after, you know, one of the breaks, and I wanted to be a college kid living under my parents' roof, and I came home late and came home from drinking and had the talk from mom and dad saying, if you're going to live under our house, you're going to live under our rules. And so I said, well, I'll just go live with Pop then. And so I moved back to Florida and Jacksonville Beach and lived with my pop. Well, guess what? My dad was my son of my grandpa. It wasn't any easier at my pop's house. He says, I'll just live under my house, live under my rules. And I'm thinking like, gosh, you should just go back to college. So, but I got a chance to meet my grandpa in a different light. It certainly kind of, like most kids, as you get older, you realize how smart your parents were. Mm-hmm. The reason I tell this story is I never set out to be a salesman. I never set out to be a teacher like my dad, and now I'm both. I get to be a salesman and a teacher. My dad died suddenly, you know, 15 years ago, and I probably think about him more now than I did when he was alive. And so every day I teach, every day I write, every day I blog, every day I build relationships, solve problems, have fun. It's a chance for me to sort of say, you know what? I learned a lot, and I continue to try and share that with other people. So it's, if I have a legacy, it's build relationships, solve problems, have fun. It's just that I learned it too late to tell people that taught it to me.
Well, and I love that, Sean, and I know that you know, you're raising your children in much the same fashion, and you have such impact on all of us, right? So I'm truly blessed to know you, and I've learned so much from you, and I aspire to present as well as you do, as do most of us. So I just want to take this moment to say thank you for everything that you're doing. I know, I think I can speak for honestly, everyone who knows you would say the same thing. And keep going. I just think that we're so grateful.
I'll tell you what, I love what you're doing here with Conversations That Matter. I listen to all of them. I take notes. I tweet them. And I just, it's so cool, and I'm honored to be in this list now of some amazing people in our industry and some outside of our industry. And so thank you for bringing that voice and that conversation that matters to really taking care of our customers and providing memorable experiences. So honored to be a friend of yours. If I can help anybody, they know where they can hit me. I live on the socials, and my carpscorner.net is the website, www.carpscorner.net. Invite them to follow my blog and certainly leave me comments, let me know, and be sure to watch Carp Art next week.
Yeah, for sure. So you can carry the torch for me at Inman Connect.
I will. Terry, keep building relationships, solving problems, and having fun, all right?
Thanks, Sean. Bye. All right.